You are listening to the Pursuit of Manliness podcast, where we are vigorously equipping men to pursue biblical manliness. For more information about the Pursuit of Manliness or find out about the herd, make sure you visit thepursuitofmanliness.com. God, thank you for the gift of technology, the ability for us to connect in this fashion. And I thank you for Ken. I thank you for the ministries that he is a part of. And God, I pray for the guys that will listen to this and this event that they have coming up through Promise Keepers, that it might be a blessing to reach a lot of guys, especially as we look at just the mental health and just kind of the seclusion that a lot of guys seem to find themselves in. I pray that you bless our conversation, the men that will listen to it, whether they're in their truck, break room, garage, wherever they're at, doesn't matter. We know that you will get the glory in it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, men, at this time, I want to welcome Ken Harrison to the Pursuit of Manliness podcast. Ken, thank you for making the time being on the show.
Got it, man. I have to tell you, though, I have serious beard envy because I couldn't grow that beard. Yeah, no. There's no way. No, it would take me 15 years to grow that beard.
Well, it's a high thread count. I don't know what it is. The sad thing is, every day when I comb it out, there's always one or two of the black hairs that have given up. And I think I need you guys. I can't have you running off.
That's like my head, man. That's the hairs on my head.
That's right. That's why I wear a hat. But Ken, would you just take a moment, introduce yourself, who you are, and then we'll dive right into this.
Yeah. So I run Promise Keepers. I also run Waterstone. We give away about $2.5 million a week of other people's money. And I started off life as an LA cop after graduating from Marine Corps OCS and turning out flight school, and then got into business, built a big business, sold it, retired. And that's a different story for a different day. But God said, you know, you don't retire. And he called me up to ask me if I was willing to be totally abandoned to him. And when I said yes, and I ended up doing this, and it's been the greatest blessing, funnest chapter of my life right now.
And I know, and I appreciate you doing this, because I know that you're juggling a lot of things. When we were kind of conversing about time and all that stuff, I don't know if I've ever had a guy who didn't know what time zone he would be in for the podcast. So
yeah, that's right.
You've been in a couple time zones today, the way I understand it.
Yeah. Yeah. I was running to get back here to my office so we could talk.
That's a shame. I never run. So I appreciate you doing that.
Well, that beard, that's just way too much resistance, man. It's just the aerodynamics of that. Just, you know, how many sprinters do you see with a beard like that?
Yeah. And I always, if I'm running, you should run. Something is unraveled if I take off running, but or somebody's left church upset, so I'm trying to get after him. But Ken, you guys have a what they call a summit. You know, it's called Carried. Is that right? Carried Mental Health Summit, and that's coming up real quick. So that's on October 25th. Can you explain kind of the birth of that and what this thing's about?
Yeah, so it's funny. You know, the Lord supernaturally brought Promise Keepers into my life. I never thought I'd end up running it. And I did what I think a lot of people do. I assumed I knew what the Lord wanted me to do with all that. And so I started running down the road with events and all that. And he blessed them. And we had a great event at Dallas Cowboy Stadium in the summer of 21. But what we figured out is that we can reach vastly more men doing these virtual events, especially post-COVID, because people still aren't really getting together that much. So we had, keep with that thought. We can reach vastly more men with stuff they don't hear about anywhere else, because men are not hearing from the pulpit what they need to hear. And they're not hearing from sometimes their own fathers. They don't have dads or whatever. So we're realizing that what men really need is godly content, man to man. This is what you need to know. And so we've done these virtual events. We get around 250,000 men watching them at a time. And we could do a really excellent job at them and get the best speakers and talk about stuff guys don't talk about. So we did a sexual integrity event last May. We had like 250,000 guys watch it. Then we had 5,000 men go through our very intense 30-day challenge on kicking pornography. And we got letters from guys that, and we're getting follows up now, that they kick pornography. And now 6 months later, they're still off pornography. Their lives have changed. Their marriages are better. So this one is called Carried, and this one's on mental health. And this, I think, is the most challenging one we've done yet, because guys just don't talk about the fact that they're depressed, struggling with grief, with guilt, with a wife who is in that situation. So this is an hour of talking about the very stuff that men need to talk about, but either they won't, or they don't have anybody they can talk about it with. And so it's this 1 hour event. It'll be shown live on YouTube, on all of our channels. It'll also be shown live on CBN. So you can, there's a million ways to watch it when it comes out. And then it'll be on our website after that, if you can't make it on that time. But this is a hard hitting hour of let's talk, you know, there's 127 suicides a day and 80% of those are middle-aged men. And that's not an accident. And then there'll be a 21-day challenge after that, sort of dealing with all the specific issues that you might deal with, some bipolar and that sort of thing.
For me personally, Promise Keepers has been huge. I remember in 1999, it was the first one I ever went to, and one side of the room started, "We love Jesus. Yes, we do. We love Jesus." And the other side didn't. I thought, what have I got myself into? I got to get out of here. But before the weekend was over, it was something I never heard, just about it, talking about integrity and purity and these things that I thought, I don't remember ever hearing this. And talking to men like men. And I think what you're going to do here, this is a really tough topic. And if you tried to have a men's night at your church where you're going to talk about mental health, it would be you and one of your elders. Like, you just wouldn't have anyone show up. So I'm hoping these guys that listen to this say, hey, this is a safe place, right? Yeah. So what are some things that you're hopefully going to convey to them to say, hey, you at least need to consider this? And the fact that you're virtually is a lot safer, and they don't have to buy a ticket and travel, you know, 4 hours to sit for two days.
Right. And it's free. Everything we do is free. That's always good, especially now. Saw the inflation report that just came out. But there's a couple of things and stuff we don't necessarily always talk about. And so when it comes to mental health, there's only a small section on it, but we do need to talk about sin, because Romans chapter 1 talks about the fact that if you are in unrepentant sin, your mind will not be clear and you will be given over to depraved other thoughts. And a lot of guys, their mental health might simply be that they just need to repent of sin. But that's not always the case. I mean, what I found is that men, all people go through trauma, right? Especially when they're young, for whatever reason. And then as you go through trauma, Satan tends to bring along things that will reiterate whatever the negativity from that thing is, right? So if you know, the classic example is a gal or a guy who's been sexually abused when they're young and they blame themselves, Satan will continue to bring people into your life, situations, things that continue to reiterate that in your mind. And you end up with a self-image that is completely wrong and had been invented by Satan. And that is one of the reasons why Jesus is so clear. If you want to be a disciple of mine, you got to die to yourself daily, because you got to get rid of all that crap that we carry around with ourselves. And again, women deal with that a lot better than men, because they tend to talk about that stuff a lot more. I mean, it's not easy to talk to even a good friend and say, when I was 8, you know, I was sexually abused by my coach or whatever. I mean, man, that's tough. That takes a lot of trust. And unfortunately, in our culture today, I think one of the reasons why it's a safe place with Promise Keepers to do this virtually, to go through the event virtually, is, you know, do you really have a friend you trust that much to go through it with? And does that friend have the wisdom to even deal with it?
And that's important, having a one another. You know, your website says Troy Aikman. Wouldn't be Troy Aikman without Michael Irvin, Frodo without Sam. Those are terrible examples to start with. But anyhow, King David without Jonathan. But I think about Jonathan. I think about, what is that? I wrote down 1 Samuel 14 with his armor bearer. And he says, let's go, you know, and you need that guy that says, I'll go with you. Have you found with these online events, webinars, if you will, summits, that guys are opening their houses up or their garage up and inviting a few other guys together to watch these together?
Yeah, we've had 400 or 500 churches generally show these. I don't know on Carried how many there will be. I think it's quite a few. On the one we just had, the 25-year anniversary documentary, we had guys running movie theaters out, and then we've sent them a Blu-ray so that they can show it in the theater and then fill the theater up with guys. And really, that's the good and the bad of doing a virtual event. Promise Keepers has always been meant to get together with brothers. And so if you're sitting in your boxer shorts watching it by yourself, well, that's good, but that's not great. We want you to get together with guys. It's pretty funny. We had a church that posted one of the events that we did, and I won't say which church, but what they ended up doing was running this bar. So it shows all these guys, like 60 guys, a bunch of their elders, but behind them is just a wall full of booze. And it was just pretty funny, you know, because it's all over the Promise Keeper stuff. And we were just laughing, like, that's just guys getting together and having a good time, you know. And but the image was, you know, made some people upset.
Well, and when you say, you know, moving from renting out arenas and the things that were pre-Promise Keepers today. Don't you see this as like a 2022 way of doing ministry that maybe, you know, like you and I doing this, we wouldn't have done this 10, 15 years ago, right? Like this is a new way of reaching people and getting the same impact. You talk about a no-nonsense approach. For some guys, they've never had this approach. This is going to be different for them. What can they expect when they get on here and start hearing these guys talk to them?
Yeah, and honestly, Jared, I mean, even 3 years ago, we had the technology, but it wouldn't have been acceptable, right? But the COVID thing, you got used to watching Fox News with everybody on Zoom. You know, all of a sudden, these people you saw on TV, and now you're seeing what their basement looks like, you know? So we've kind of adapted and changed to that, so where we can have these conversations over Zoom. You know, what we take pride in at Promise Keepers is, you know, three things. Number one, to stay true to the vision of Coach McCartney. He had a heart for the friendless American male, and it's vastly worse today than it was when he started Promise Keepers 30 years ago. Number two, we will stay true to Scripture. And everyone has an argument about that because obviously Promise 6 for us is unity. And so we're not interested in arguing about Pentecostals or Baptists or speaking in tongues or not speaking in tongues. We're interested in bringing God's word and not having an argument about it. So staying completely true to Scripture. But number three is talking to men in a way that they need to hear from other men. And, you know, I mean, I have concerns on both sides of this thing. On the one hand, so much men's ministry is overly machoized, I feel like. You know, you see some guy wielding a sword and guys running around. And it's like, well, if you're the average guy, you know, you're an accountant or you're a tech guy, is that really that appealing for you to see, you know, muscle guy bound guys? I mean, I just was talking to somebody the other day who was saying he went to a men's thing and they all were shooting pellet guns inside the church sanctuary. And he didn't want to shoot a pellet gun. And some guys were like, come on, act like a man, you know, shoot this pellet gun. I don't want to. Oh, dude, what's wrong with you? You're a wuss. And I mean, he's in a men's ministry church being called a wuss because he doesn't want to shoot a gun in the church. And he's like, I wanted to get godly content. I came to hear men talk about Scripture, not to shoot guns. Now, some guys want that, and that's fine. I'm not condemning it. I'm just saying sometimes it's overly machoized on one side. On the other side, we see the much bigger problem of the church not dealing with issues. We're all told that we should really be nice instead of being loving. And I've gotten in trouble for saying this, people misquoting me before, but we are called to be loving, not nice. And what I mean by that is, it's not nice to come up to someone and say, hey, you're an alcoholic and you need help. That's not very nice, but it sure is loving, because loving is doing whatever we can to turn somebody towards where joy is. And joy is only found in salvation in Jesus Christ. And then when you're a believer, abandoning your life to Jesus Christ. So on the other side, I think there's too much of this. There's a machoness on one side, but on the other side, there's this not teaching men that healthy confrontation is part of being a man. Jesus says, if you see your brother in sin, rebuke him. If he asks for forgiveness, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times a day, forgive him seven times a day. So being a man is two things. It's being willing to confront people in love and grace, but it takes some stones to confront people. But it also means forgiving people.
I mean, that's essentially what Peter's message was after he healed the beggar. He comes in, he gives them the indictment. You killed the author of life. That's pretty aggressive. And then he goes to the invitation. However, you know, times of refreshing is available to you. And it is a both and. And I think if we're not careful, men's ministry can turn into a knockoff Braveheart movie where we are trying to be, you know, dress up warriors. It's like going to your favorite sports team's arena and you wear all the gear, but you're not really playing. Like, I need guys who are willing to play and pray and serve and just listen. And then I need guys to go, oh, I'll knock on his door for it. If we need to do that, we will do that. So it is kind of a dichotomy of you got to have them both, right? Like, otherwise, you're going to miss a vast majority of people, or they're going to be turned off by this false bravado or wussiness. It could go either way.
Yeah. What I've said is, you know, I've had visual. So your identity has a lot to do with how you behave. And so one of the things I've been critical of with the evangelical movement a lot is this idea of cheap grace. And the idea of cheap grace, whether people say it or not, the idea you get is you're a bad person, Jarrett, but Jesus loves you anyway. So try not to be bad, but you're still going to be bad and Jesus will still love you. And so your identity from that is what? I'm a bad person. And I mean, I'm going to try not to be bad really hard. I'm going to feel guilty all the time. and I'm going to make Jesus feel sad. In reality, our true identity is you were a bad person. Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ saved you and made you into a new creature. And now that you're a new creature, he has put a part of himself in you to give you the power to fulfill your calling in Ephesians 2:10, which says we're God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which were prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Meaning there was a call on your life before you were ever born. Mm-hmm. God had a call for you to accomplish, and he gave you all the gifts that for you to accomplish. So don't try to figure somebody else's call. I mean, how many guys become failed pastors because they're not called to be pastors, right?
Right.
Fulfill your gift. How many great businessmen have sold their businesses or retired early to become pastors because somebody told them so, when really they had such an amazing ministry at their business and the ability to make a lot of money and give it. So your image matters. So on the Promise Keeper side, what I've said is, think of our image like To Kill a Mockingbird. My dog's name is Atticus, after Atticus Finch from To Kill a Mockingbird. And what's that guy? I mean, if you remember the movie or read the book, and if you haven't read the book, it's a great book and it's an easy read. But he's a single dad living in the South in the 30s who defends a black man who's falsely accused of rape, and the whole town's against him. So Atticus Finch is this absolutely strong spined guy standing against the whole town with his scholarly mind while raising his kids, standing for justice no matter what. There's nothing violent about him. There's nothing macho about Atticus Finch. But that's the image I want to see for Christian men. And so both are true. And if you're a Navy SEAL version of that, great. If you're a worship leader version of that, great. But we got to stop putting on guys that you have to be able to have an amazing beard to be a real man. Because some guys are like me, they can't grow a real beard. You know what I'm saying? Let's not put our haircut on other people.
I do like that you said the opposite of a Navy SEAL is a worship leader. I think that's a fair assessment. I think that's a fair assessment. The opposite of that. Yeah, no, you're exactly
only,
right.
Only if you put the skinny jeans on, then you are absolutely the opposite of a Navy SEAL.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's fair. You know, I was thinking about Galatians chapter 6, verse 2 says, everyone, you know, we're to carry each other's burdens. 6:5 is we're to carry our own load. And that's really, again, the dichotomy of man. There are times being a man just means suck it up. Okay. Sometimes that means you're going to eat last. You're going to have to stay up later. You're going to have to drive the car further. You're going to have to mow the grass when it's hot. You do crappy things because it's good. Listen, your wife does crappy things too, but nevertheless, sometimes being a man just is harder than you want it to be. But then there's times we need to say, this sucks. This is hard. I need help. I need something. Can you speak to that? Like, where's that moment, that wrestling match of, there are times you do need to man up, and I don't want to minimize that, but there are times that a guy needs to go, can I just get on the horn with you for a minute? I got some junk and I need someone to hear it and just tell me it's going to be all right.
You know, I spent the last couple of days with James Robinson. He's my spiritual father. And for anybody who doesn't know who James Robinson is, he's a legend. Especially if you're older, you remember him, but James was conceived in rape. His mother was a 40-year-old hospice nurse. His father, the son of that guy she was caring for, came in, raped her. And then when James was 14, dad came back, tried to kill the mother, choked her, trying to get her money out of her. And then 2 days later came back to kill James, ran a James hunting rifle. James held it on him, called the police, went to prison for 7 years. James had this unbelievably traumatic childhood, right? Became one of the most famous preachers, probably the most famous preacher in the world besides Billy Graham for all those years. And James, when he preaches, is like this, he's 79 years old, this unbelievable ball of passion and tears and yelling. I mean, like, he's old school preaching. I love to hear him preach, right? That is a man. James Robinson is a man. King David was a man. The guy, a lot of what he did today, macho guys would mock him for. I mean, the guy he's stripped down to his underwear, dancing around. His wife, Michael, is looking at him with contempt in her heart, right? He was a great, he played the harp, which was kind of more like a guitar almost back in those days. He wrote music. He was a worship leader. He was all those things. He also killed Goliath. And by the way, the killing of Goliath is a great thing to get into as we talk about a guy like David, who's weeping, very emotional, but just strong as can be, a massive warrior. But when he goes to fight Goliath, a couple of things are not true that we have in our mind. He was not a little boy. He was about a year from military service age. So he is a late teen, and he's trained with a sling. And the slingers, were the baddest dudes in the military. They would have these stones that were about the size of an orange, perfectly round, and they were the best athletes. They would be able to sprint really fast. They would train all the time, and they could throw that stone at about 150 miles an hour. So even a guy with a helmet on would explode his head. And so even the ramps were built against the slingers coming into town so that you couldn't get an angle, because they would run full speed, twirling that thing, boom, and knocking guys out. So that's the guy who went to fight Goliath. It wasn't some little boy with a little pebble. He was trained. And I want to emphasize with guys that still took a massive amount of faith to go there. But he also had skills. He took the time to train in who he was. That's why he took down a bear and took down a lion. So let's have faith. Let's be men, but let's also be trained. You got to be on your knees in prayer. You got to know God's word. So many men just don't read. Whatever you're trying to accomplish, be the best at it. So going back to that whole man thing, right? David, extremely well-trained, extremely emotional, writing music, writing poetry. He was the every man for every guy to go, I want to be like that guy.
I've taken some heat from that idea through the years. I said, if you don't want to be the absolute best at what you do, you need to do something else. You're stealing money. You're saying being okay is being okay. And I just don't think you're going to find that in scripture. I don't think you're going to find people that God used in a mighty way that said, I'm okay. I mean, Gideon tried to get out of it. God's like, no, seriously, 48 hours. I'm going to stalk you and let you know this. But we should do things to a high standard that other people say, man, I want that. Like, what is it? Like your pastor or your boss should say, where do I get more of these guys? Like, what is going on with you that I have such a guy, hard work, integrity, morality, I could trust you with anything. Like, we should be those guys.
I mean, the problem right now is Christian culture is really an excuse to be mediocre.
Yes.
Right. I mean, when you hear Christian, whatever, it means it's not as good, but tolerated because that's a Christian message. Why is that, man? How old are you, Jared?
I'm 47.
47, 55.
Okay.
So you and I both come from the rock and roll era, right? We came from the cool era. both Gen Xers.
That's right. So
I remember, I don't know if you remember this, but back like in the early 80s and stuff, there was Christian rock. And what Christian rock meant is that it sucks.
Oh, yeah. Like,
you know, and you were condemned for listening to Pink Floyd or, you know, Zeppelin or later on the Scorpions, Van Halen, whatever. It was like, oh, that's bad. So you have to listen to this other stuff. And it was just garbage. And it was produced bad. It was cheap. And that culture is kind of permeated. And we men, the guys listening to your show, be the best. Be the best guitar. Be Phil Keaggy. You know, be the guy who's the master of what you're doing. If you have a business, if you make cupcakes for a living, whatever it is that you do, if be the best. And we have to get out of this idea somehow that Christian doesn't mean being absolutely excellent at what we are and what we do.
Yeah, I think we get the idea. It means being good or safe or an unthreatening or whatever. I mean, we're afraid to be. Nevertheless, I would go on this forever, but let me talk to this guy as we wrap up this portion. You know, you talk about the guy, the friendless guy. You know, inevitably there's going to be a guy listen to this, watch this, tune into your summit, who just doesn't have anybody, and that's part of your vision. But what I like about the online communities is it really can be a community. So would you just like speak to that guy? Maybe he doesn't have anybody. Maybe he doesn't have a church. Maybe I don't know, but he's like, I know I'm going to be watching this by myself. The power of collective character when we're all doing the same thing in that same moment.
Dude, that's a great question. Get on the Promise Keepers app. And we have 50,000 guys on there, which sounds impressive. It's actually, that's a small number. But of those 50,000 guys on the app, we have incredible usage. People who know this sort of thing can't believe the amount of usage we have. We have over 100,000 conversation strings. On that app, you can just go to the App Store and however that works, you know, if you have whatever phone you have, it's very simple. It's all free. Get on there. There is a community on there where you can talk to guys. And what we're trying to do, I've raised the funding, so it'll take a little bit more time to get it to that point. But our goal is to have tens of millions of men on this so that there's so many men locally that in Denver, Colorado, you'll know that, gee, there's 200,000 guys on here, and I can find the guys in my church who run this app. We get together and do stuff. And the the worship leaders can do their thing and the Navy SEALs can do their thing and everybody can be happy. Or we can link up and play golf, or we can go play basketball or go skiing, you know, here in Denver or whatever the case might be. So the app, I think, is, and you can get all this content on the app too and see all these different things we've done on the app, but it's at least one way to get into community with men who want the same thing you do.
And that to me was a big takeaway when I went to the early days of Promise Keepers, looking around going, okay, there are some normal guys who love Jesus. Right, I think I can do this. They're not a bunch of Ned Flanders. They're not a bunch of nerdy guys. I mean, there are, and that's great for them. But I thought, if I have to do it a way, I don't think I can do that. So, Ken, I can't thank you enough. I know you're a crazy busy guy. Thank you for making time being on today's show. I'll put the links in the show, but where are we sending these guys to find this?
PromiseKeepers.org or the app.
You guys in the herd, we're going to continue the conversation over there. Thank you, men, for listening to or watching the Pursuit of Manliness podcast. If you're looking for any of the links mentioned in today's podcast episode, make sure you check out the show notes. You will find them there. If you will, leave a 5-star review on iTunes. That just continues to help get the word out about the Pursuit of Manliness podcast. Men, if you are in the herd, we are going to continue our conversation over there. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Let's keep pursuing biblical manliness.